And so I'm going to mash up, this is my hope, Proverbs 19. And next week, by the grace of God, because I feel like that's the more important thing. I feel like this is good, but it's got getting us to there somehow. So Proverbs 19 and Acts 19. And when I thought we'd just look at a 19 formula since we're in a 19 culture. So what the word can say. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd cause that to work out real well. That I could walk people through your word and we could get things that would help us to respond. Internally, externally, Lord God, and every eternally around the corner. In Jesus' name, amen. Ever get a miracle for answering prayer? Anybody ever have a miracle? Had a miracle before? Yeah, I've had a miracle. I see Toby raised from the dead every week, twice a day. The doctor sees that's Cheerson's dog, if you don't know. He's going to make it to the 17th, you know. Last night, I'm sure you thought he was going to die in your arms. Yeah. Sure. And then God just keeps resurrecting him. And those are minor miracles that we forget about sometimes. Remember last week, the sermon was woe. Yeah. And remember Jesus, one of his quotes said, woe to you, la, 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 the people, if the miracles that have been done in your life had been done in some crazy heathen's life, they'd have come to me a long time ago and repented. So sometimes we're guilty of the church is just letting miracles slide by us in our prayer requests because we expect God, you'll never let me down. You're always going to show up. It's a blow. He let me down before. I bet if we analyze that situation, there's a lot of circumstances involved, things he's trying to teach you and not let you do, not let you down. But that's another sermon. That's not for today. I want to recognize that there's miracles been going on a lot lately. There's been trouble, but you got to look at the miracles too. Because it wants to bring us down, you know? It wants to suck us down. I can't read the news for too long. I guess before I preach, that's where I should go this morning is Tonga. I don't know if you've been following the kingdom of Tonga. Probably not. I keep an eye on the South Pacific on a regular basis because that's where I feel like the God's called me to do. And what looks to be the equivalent of a nuclear bomb was an underground volcano. It's pretty much blown up the whole kingdom of Tonga. You can see from 500 nautical miles away, the shores of Samoa can see what looks like an apocalyptic lightning storm directly blasted down on the kingdom of Tonga. And you can see it. I have pictures. And there's neighboring islands that are evacuating from the shoreline, some of their houses, in expectation of big waves in Samoa. So remember Chief Peter, he was here before he spoke. The guys, you know, he's trying to get people off the little tiny of a Nu'u and get them up to higher ground. And there's a lot of old people and kids on his island, so it's six people at a time all night long for 2 days in anticipation of what if a tsunami hits again, because it wiped them out one time. And everybody now knows to go up the mountain. So if you pray for the South Pacific, because I think God's doing stuff that I have to be prepared to go and help do. And sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to always do. It's not comfortable for us, but if we're slaves of God and sons of God, we better change our attitudes. I prophesied here a couple of weeks ago, I don't know how long it was, I was during prayer time. So, but it was God's going to change your MO, your modus operandi, the way you're functioning is not going back the way you were. We better figure out how to be the church going forward and get the job done still. We can't be like, we don't have any straw, we can't make bricks, and we're going to make bricks. We're not giving up. We are the church. And we're going to respond. Yeah. But in that, I've had a lot of pastors this week. I've had a lot of interaction with pastors with this sentiment. There are so many men of God, they're exhausted right now. Just exhausted. Some of them are getting ready to close their churches because the states they live in are making it hard. Or sickness or the pressure. If some of them work, most of the guys that I know work a lot of different jobs besides pastors. We have a clinic and a couple other businesses. Why? Because we got bills to pay and things to do, and we'll never retire based on if someone clicks on a button and puts the money in the offering. I got other bills to pay here, so we got to figure that out, right? That's a financial seminar. Helped us. Woohoo! We're looking forward to it. Hope it helps you guys. Some of you young guys, you can get in now. Man, you'll be buying me cars when you're older, and I'll be loving it. Like, Pastor, I just rolled up in a Hummer for you. It's like, you did again? This one, I only had this one a month. You know? I don't know. But that being said, it's time to, I think, maybe me get down pretty soon because I feel like God wants to change some direction of things. It's been 8 years since I took time off, and I haven't taken much time off, but a week here or there since the accident. And I want to, you make decisions best when you're on stable ground.
Right.
When you feel like everything's shaking around you, it's hard to make decisions. I don't know, anybody 2K players out there, anybody play NBA 2K? Yeah, like, oh, at four, right, I'm going to do this anyways. Yeah, I know Christian's going, yeah. All right, so when you're playing this basketball game, Ed, whenever you're at the opposing team's arena and you want to shoot your foul shots, they shake the screen all over the place like you can't see them, so you shoot your foul shots, right? It makes it harder to shoot your foul shots. Why? Because the screen's tripping out, right? Well, that's what the enemy wants us to make decisions just like that. And there's times you got to draw away to go, okay, God, what are we doing? I know what I want to do, and sometimes that's God. And how many people know sometimes what you want to do isn't? Anybody? Anyone? Thank you. I'm in the new season this morning, Lord. So I pray the Spirit of God, the love of God, and the grace of God be poured all over this Hey 19 mini-series, and let's see what he does. I'm going to try and teach right through a whole chapter. This is your Bible study today. You don't got to do your, well, Lord, they can do your personal time if you want to. Proverbs 19, 1 through 29. Let's start in the first verse. I'm slow rolling, Joe. Your finger is going to be like, what? It's time to move again? I don't know. We'll see. I might be getting you moving fast and slow. This is going to be incorrect for a little bit. So it's supposed to be Proverbs 19, 1 through 29, which is okay. So you can or turn it into your own virtual Bibles. Or if you have Bibles of your own like we used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we had to bring our Bibles, Jody. I don't know if it was like, I'll prove fast or wrong. That doesn't say it. Well, it does say it. You know, and all the different translations you'd have and stuff. So we try to put it up there for convenience. But if you don't trust me, I get into your Bible app and I'll read part of it as Pastor Heidi feverishly works on it. Say, it's okay, Pastor Heidi.
It's okay.
We ain't worried about it. Proverbs 19:1 says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity. I'll stop right there in the first part of that thing. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity. So what's this have to do with COVID-19 response in the world that you have little control over? No matter the circumstances, your integrity shouldn't change. Say, I'm the church. No matter your circumstances, your integrity shouldn't change. It's something you can control in a world that doesn't have control. The one thing you can control in your life, you can't control your living and dying. You can hasten it. Or do things maybe to prolong it, but I believe the Lord has a tag for us to get to. But you can shorten that cycle. The one thing you can control in your life is your integrity. That's what you have control of. So when the response, the world's going crazy, how do you respond as the church, right? Better to be a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man who is twisted in his speech and is a short-sighted fool. Say, hey, 19. He's starting off strong, right? 19 starting off strong, just like 19 started off strong, right? All right, Lord, that's why I tried to get the medicine, the spoonful of sugar. I tried, you know, I just tried to help you swallow that first verse. But it's going to be fun because this isn't all just applied. It applies to the person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you, not you. Say, I am the church. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. Okay. Seek understanding, because ignorance is a choice.
Yeah.
Rewind the tape. Seek understanding, because ignorance is a choice. People that want to debate God and never done any research on their own or read the word themselves, they go, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Get some understanding, let's have a conversation. It's the same thing with you. If someone wants to try to re-explain how television works, you can try. I've heard it 4 times. And I'm a smart guy, but somewhere along the line, I get bored. And so I like to picture Wonka vision. Okay, so it's like little chocolate particles, and the guy shows up on my screen. No, Pastor, that's not how it works. Well, in my head, that's what I'm hearing. So, you know. It's better. It's not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who hurries with his feet, this is where they're getting to. He who hurries with his feet, ever rush into something? You know, there's a famous saying, fools rush in. Ah, they get it for a reason. Yeah, Ever rush into a conversation, you go, man, I wish I didn't stick my face in there. I misheard it, and I'm looking stupid. Woo, that's us. I say I'm the church. And sometimes we, not stupid. Don't say it. Sometimes we hasten with our feet, don't we? Especially if I feel like you picked on somebody I love, and I didn't get the whole story. I'd be putting you halfway in a box. I should listen first, you know? And he who hastens with his feet, acting impulsively and proceeding without caution. Who has ever acted impulsively and proceeded without caution? I'm looking for my poster boy friends. Yeah. We hear. Right? And he who hurries with his feet, acting impulsively and proceeding without caution, or analyzing the consequences, say consequences. That's the word we hate the most. And acting impulsively, proceeding without caution, and analyzing the consequences, that person sins. Oh, most of the time. Yes, Lord. Decisions primarily based on impulse and feeling and popular. Decisions based on impulse and feeling and what's popular are not characteristics of a dead man anyways. We don't have a life to live. The unchangeable God, if those of us have called on him as Lord and Savior, the unchangeable God is our culture. Say, hey, 19. We got a culture already. It's unchangeable. Right? That's it. We claim at times, right? I'm a dead to me and alive to Christ. How many of you as Christians ever said that out of your mouth, that I am dead to me and alive to Christ? If you're not, you should say it more to yourself. Seriously, when you're feeling tempted and stuff, life's trouble and things are coming down and you got to go to that family reunion that you do not want to go to, but you know God sent you there, you got to go, oh, I'm dead to me and alive to Christ. And we say things like, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And if that's true, why do we keep making such impulsive, self-focused, and short-sighted decisions? Did I read you that through too fast? Okay. Slow it down, is what you're saying, Pastor Sharon? Way down? But why do we keep on making impulsive, self-focused, and short-sighted decisions? If I am dead to me and alive to Christ. If I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? So I'm back in the scripture. Where am I? You guys got with me now? Where'd we go? Picked up in verse what? It's all one verse to me. I want to go here. The foolishness. Thank you. Well done, sir. The foolishness of man. Say, ladies, don't just elbow your husbands. They're like, aha, good, get him. No, this means the foolishness of mankind. But often male mankinds are more foolish. Well, I mean, I just tried to throw us under the bus, but it happens, right? Mark and I, you know, and Jody's like, yeah, that's sometimes. But the foolishness of mankind, humans, right? The foolishness of man undermines his way, ruining whatever he undertakes. Say then. So when he does something impulsive and foolish and rushes in and undermines things, then in his heart he's resentful and rages against the Lord. Ever have a problem in your life where you made a choice and it was a consequence and bad thing happened and you railed against God for it? Yeah. Ever met anybody who's done that? This will help us get through 19. Don't be blaming God for stuff. Don't be blaming God for stuff. For being a fool, he blames the Lord instead of himself. How many times should I read that? Five? Pastor Sharon, I'll go three because it's mercy and grace season. Okay. For being a fool, he blames the Lord instead of himself. How about to make it sound a little better? For being a fool, he blameth the Lord instead of himself. It's more dramatic. It goes right over your head that way. We'll do four. For he, being a fool, blames the Lord instead of himself. Keep on moving, I said. It's time to topic distance. Sometimes the best response is not being hasty or impulsive, but ask your Lord. Truth. Number two, I will never recommend anyone blame God for their life choices. Right? And it says, ask him, hey, 19. Thank you. Next verse. Wealth makes many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. Wealth doesn't always make many real friends. The point here is going to be not the wealth. People like to pick on the wealth in this. Isn't that the point in this right here? The point is he doesn't like laziness either. You'll find out in a second. How many people like lazy friends? You're always picking up after them because they won't clean up their stuff. You know? Or they always want to go out to eat, but they ain't got no money in their pocket. Why? Because they ain't got no job. Right? Anyways, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. False witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. God knows, God sees, God keeps track. God knows, God sees, and God keeps track. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses me from all unrighteousness and calls me to live as a warrior, dead soldier to myself and alive to Christ. That's the results of the exchange of salvation. God bless you. It says, many will seek the favor of a generous and noble man, and everyone is a friend to him who gives gifts. Everyone's a friend to him. Like, you pass out gifts? Ooh, I like her. She's nice. Who in this church doesn't know that Jasmine's one of the most awesome secret sisters in the world? If you don't know, you better ask somebody. People like trying to rig it. Like, oh, give me Jasmine. Give me Jasmine. Oh, Lord. Pray. I've never seen so many ladies praying. Oh, God. To be your will, that Jasmine's a name. I'm just kidding. Just teasing. Not really. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. What? How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words. So that sounds harsh. Why are you hating on a poor brother? We're supposed to love the poor. I will get there, but I want to tell you the purpose of this. Yeah. Right? All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How about he pursues them with their words? It's time your actions might be needed instead of for your proof of love. You know, words are cheap sometimes if you never show out. Yeah. Oh, the Lord bless you and keep you, you mangy dog. Be fed, be well, but I ain't giving to it. Okay. Yeah. Park right here for a second then. It's time he's asking for proof again. It's okay that a husband asks for proof of love. So okay that a bride asks for proof of love. And isn't that our relationship with him? Yeah. And he's saying, do you love me? Mm-hmm. More than you're afraid of COVID-19 culture. Do you love me more than yourself? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He's saying it again. And then this hits me like that. It's time to, I don't know, ask him. Ask him, have I been pursuing you more with my mouth and really with my heart? That's a poor man that does that. It says, but they are gone, right? The words are gone. I want to give you an acronym that Apostle Bishop Brinson gave us once, poor. You ready? Because you hear that word poor a lot. And I want you to kind of hear this. People overlooking opportunity repeatedly. People overlooking opportunity repeatedly. P-O-O-R. People overlooking opportunity repeatedly. Opportunity to obey God, to do something to change that situation over their self or even our own feelings, emotions, and opinions. Right? It says, but they are gone. The lack of effort and work is under the Lord is not going to change your financial situation. God never, we think because the apostles said they gathered all the money together, and they gave us unto the Lord, and they helped fund the church and helped take care of the widows who were truly widows and the poor who were truly poor. We often think that God doesn't expect a work culture out of this church. We can get lazy because we got a great government. He who gains wisdom and good sense preserves his own soul. And he who keeps understanding will find good and prosper. Like, you get understanding and you start applying it, your life will change. And no matter what that section of your life is, it could be you want to be better at carpentry. Get some understanding. Learn. Go hang out with Mark. He'll teach you some stuff. You know, if you just come with me and I got plyboard and screws and hammer and a saw, don't follow me anywhere. I'm just taking it to Mark's. Go, hey, Mark, I sanded this down. You know. He who keeps his understanding will find good and prosper. Apply the things you learn in God. Just don't listen to them on Sunday. Apply the things you learn in God. Just don't listen to them on Sunday. Because you'll be poor. You'll have less and less friends when it's all as your mouth running, but your heart's not there. And it's a bad example of the bride of Jesus Christ. A false witness will not go unpunished again. And he who breathes lies will perish. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Now, we get indignant right here. I don't know if you do, because I grew up in upstate New York and I felt like I saw a lot of racial disharmony, and slavery was a topic for me, and MLK Day is coming up, and it got me. What are you talking about, Doc? Okay, luxury is not fitting for a fool, okay, much less for a slave to rule a princess. Most extreme money shifts in the world will end in bankruptcy. You know that? Most lottery winners will end up bankrupt. No matter how many millions they win. It's the absolute truth. That's why we have seminars that they're going to do to help us figure out that doesn't happen to some of us. And I'm telling you, they did not have the character sometimes and the skill to use it. You need character and skill. You don't have character, bye-bye your money. You watch. Eventually, you watch. And so sometimes we can't be given the things we're asked for because we're still foolish with what we got. And there's a scripture talking about, well, I'll get there when I get there. But sometimes we are not mature enough to handle the thing we're praying for. Right? And you can't rule, man, someday when I'm pastor, I'll do a way better job than Pastor Sean. Way better. You never know. You never know. Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger. Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger. I'm reading it again one more time for myself. Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger. Anybody? Thank you. And it is the honor and glory to overlook the transgressions or an offense. It's an honor to give someone grace when they screw up. Yeah. It's an absolute honor to be able to extend it, because we should realize what's been extended.
Right.
Right. It's an honor and grace to overlook the transgression or offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. Say, hey, 19. So I got to do the right thing with the right heart. This is the Old Testament. Where's the just do it? No. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't do that. And also, even though you didn't do it, don't sit there in your bed at night and seek revenge. Plot. Oh, I remember in high school that kid. Someday I'm going to crush him like a bug. But I forgave him. I love Jesus. But, you know, I'm just saying, if I run into a, say, hey, 19. See, COVID-19 has made us mad at everybody. Come on, don't you feel a little madder than you've been? Everyone's a little bit surly, you know? And almost anything, right? Anybody else feel like almost anything can kind of get your mad meter up? Please raise your hand so I don't feel alone. Oh my gosh, all of us but Pastor Heidi. And it's true. It's that she's not lying to you. I make up for the both of us. There's this thing that's resentful in our life that's just churning that we don't want to be proud to be American. Please don't tell me what to do. Besides, we don't trust you and you and you. So that's rolling in all of us, right? And it gets us surly with people and things. So this is going to be a good remedy for us to remember that, right? The king's wrath terrifies like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as refreshing and nourishing as the dew on the grass. I know you want me to stay there, but you get it. A foolish, ungodly son is destructive to his father. A foolish and ungodly son is destructive to his father. See, the downline is supposed to increase. We're supposed to improve the next generation, right? I've seen brokenhearted parents that have seen a lot.
Yeah.
I've been a brokenhearted guy myself. I know at some point in time I brought shame on my last name because I was a cotton-headed ninny muggins with his foot on the throttle to hell. Ain't no one getting honor from that. And if you got something in your life, if you're a young person, hear this. Just hear it. And if you don't respect your own man, think about God. Christians, a foolish son is destructive to his father. When you're foolish, you make me look bad to people. You're supposed to be spreading the gospel. But when you're foolish, you make me look bad. Yeah, you look like an idiot, but you're representing me in the earth. This is a dad correcting, right? And the contentions of a quarrelsome wife, oh God, I forgot this was in here, are like a constant dripping of water. A contentious, baggy, and bossy person. Say person. Right? This is a person problem as well. Right? I remember I quoted it to this guy once. I was young and I was just trying to help him. And he laughed at me because I misquoted it. He goes, that's not in the Bible. I said, yeah, it is. I just read it. He goes, I don't know what translation you are, but that's what it said. He said, say it back to me. I go, I said, a contentious wife is like a dripping faucet. He goes, the problem is they didn't have faucets back then. So that's not the direct translation. I go, okay, I get it. But the truth is, someone that's quarrelsome and is constantly picking at you, nagging something into you or out of you, well, iron sharpens iron. I'm here to sharpen you, baby. That's not what the bridegroom relationship is like. Right? House and wealth are the inheritance from fathers. Let's pause there. I hope the seminar teaches something like this. I think it will. We should be leaving our kids an emotional, a spiritual, and physical legacy that they can carry on. But you don't know how poor I grew up. I don't know how poor I grew up. You know, my grandmother. I'm going to tell you about my grandmother. My grandmother beat your grandmother, take her money. Yeah. She's a thug. Not talking about my father's grandmother. My father's mom was not. It would be like 99-year-old little Italian lady, you know, wouldn't hurt a fly. My other grandmother, she'll take a shillelagh out and put you in the dirt, you know? So we think about, you don't know, how can I leave wealth? Whatever you have, leave more for the next generation. Leave more of the Spirit of God in your life for the next generation to grow from. Leave more emotionally where, well, my dad never hugged me, said I love you. Then change that, fool. But man, don't do that. My God says he expects it. Should I settle down? I mean, look at them. No, you're okay? Okay. I said, Pastor Sharon. House and wealth are the inheritance from fathers. But a wise, understanding, and sensible wife is a gift and a blessing from the Lord. Pause there. It never says a husband's a gift. Just saying. Oh, read it again. But a wise and understanding and sensible wife, I hope that part got in. That those that want to be, that currently are wise and understanding and sensible. A wise, understanding, and sensible wife is a gift and a blessing from the Lord. So if that's the truth, treat them like their gifts. Man of God, if you got a wife, you've been blessed with a gift. But you don't know. Sometimes she's drippy. Well, what do you got to do to fix that faucet? Maybe your job is to fix the faucet. She's dripping because you ain't paying attention to the plumbing. Anyhow, treat them like they're a gift. And not with an expectation from God. Oh, my magic genie lamp. If I'm only nice to her, then I'll get something I want, like brownies, baked later, you know? No. Treat them like a gift. But a wise and understanding and sensible wife is a gift and a blessing from the Lord. Next is laziness. Say laziness. Laziness. Say it again while I'm drinking. Laziness. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, unmindful of lost opportunities. Say poor. People overlooking opportunities repeatedly. And an idle person will suffer hunger. I got a picture from our childhoods, right? Right in the middle of this? The ant and the grasshopper story, right? Grasshoppers all play, goofing around. I'll figure it out. I'll live off the system. You'll eventually take care of me. Someone will take care of me. The church has to take care of me, right? 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 I don't got to work to help provide. I shouldn't be part of the solution. I'm part of the problem. I'm poor. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, unmindful of lost opportunity. And an idle person will suffer hunger. Don't be like the grasshopper. And I'm going to say, don't always be like the ant. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Right? Enjoy your life that God has given you and the people he's given you to enjoy it with and enhance their life and be a blessing in their life. And don't make work the thing you worship. Don't be lazy and don't be an egghead. He who keeps, say, he who keeps and obeys. He who keeps and obeys the commandments of the Lord guards his own life. I didn't know this series was going to tie into the last one. How God is that? Say, but. He who is careless of his ways and conduct will die. Sadly, often more than once. He who is careless of his ways and his conduct will die. Yeah, a weird accident because you're goofing off on the roof when you shouldn't mess around. But if you're careless of the ways God gives you and the way you conduct your life and you watch your Lord, you could die the ultimate death. Eternally. You got to watch your ways. Conduct your life like you have a Lord. And he who is gracious and lends a hand to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his good deeds. Say, thank you, Jesus. Discipline and teach your son while there is hope. Discipline and teach your son while there is hope. And do not indulge your anger or resentment by imposing inappropriate punishment, nor desire his destruction. Can I just paraphrase that a minute? Yeah. Train and treat your kids well. Train and treat your kids well. Be parents, discipline them in the way that they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. It's a job to be a parent, and it's a very hard job. And often you don't get thanked for it until they're past their 20s. And then sometimes not until they're past their 30s. And sometimes you may never get thanked for it. But if you want to be thankful for it someday, start doing your job. Be a good parent and make it matter, right? A man of great anger will bear the penalty for his quick temper and lack of self-control. A man of great anger will bear the penalty for his quick temper and lack of self-control. A man of great anger will bear the penalty for his quick temper and lack of self-control. If you want me to go on, just wave. Thank you, Sharon. For if you rescue him and do not let him learn from the consequences of his actions, you will only have to rescue him over and over and over again. Say, whoa. You got to learn from the consequences of your actions. I got a couple scars on my head I needed twice. I don't have one I needed a third time. Some of you are like, why'd you get a scar to begin with? Because you're smarter than me. And you yielded to the Lord, and it took a lot of bopping my head against stupidity for him to give me enough grace I could hear it. Right? Mark, I'm glad you're here today. Listen to counsel. Oh, no. Receive instruction and accept correction. Ah, no one likes those words. Our inner me starts going, ah. Right? Listen to counsel. Receive instruction. That means receive it. Not like, oh, that was good, thank you. But like, oh, I got to change. Accept correction that you may be wise in the time to come. I'm telling you, church, there's another time coming soon. That if we don't get the preparation for this time, when it is time to be launched in what we're supposed to be, say, I am the church, we will not be ready, so that will make us fools. Will not make us ready, and will make us fools if we do not prepare in the season we've been given. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, we are the kingdom of God. We are his church. And if we'll stay with him, we'll be consistent no matter what the world changes. That's what they need. Many plans are in the many plans are in man's mind. Some of us more than others. You don't know the plans that I make on a continual basis. If you could read my brain stream from like 10:30 at night to like 1 a.m., you'd be like, oh my gosh, we need to get that guy a third computer. What's he doing? He's solving the world's problems. But it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand and be carried out. That which is desirable in a man, mankind, that which is desirable in mankind is his loyalty and unfailing love. So what's God saying right there? What does God want? What's desirable? Man is loyalty and his unfailing love. That's what God wants from me. What's God want from you? Your loyalty and your unfailing love. But it's better to be a poor man. Oh, better to be a poor man, finally. Well, that's good. Okay, better be a poor man than a wealthy liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life. You ever quoted that one as the church? Fear of the Lord leads to life. Then why aren't we afraid to make decisions without him? We're not afraid to just make decisions that even seem great. Right? I know. This is like the sugar. I need the sugar. The apple butter. You just bring apple butter, just pass it out. The fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Anybody? Don't touch me, evil. The lazy man, say lazy man, buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it up to his mouth. That seems far-fetched, doesn't it? How about I say it this way? Lazy knows what to do and knows it to be good, but won't do it. Lazy knows how you should spend your money. Strike a scoffer for refusing to learn, and the naive may be warned to become prudent. I have a picture. It says that strike the scoffer, the person who's always causing you trouble, strike the scoffer, and the prudent shall become warned. The scoffer is to the left. That is the scoffer. I was raised in private school. I didn't realize, I forgot I had that picture. I'm a Notre Dame Crusader. It's a prep school. I was raised with a bunch of wealthy kids in high school. And this lady was a terror to most people. Sister Joachim. She walked like the penguin. And when she came down the hallway, people just let her pass like she was Moses. Because if she did this and pointed at you, you're like, oh, no. My first day in class, Sister Joachim said, she's reading off. I'm a freshman. Ain't done a thing yet. I was actually a pretty good kid in 7th and 8th grade. I was a stellar kid, actually. I was good. Things started to change. But she said, Kaposi. And I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, you're in the front row. I'm in the front row? Why? Because I knew your father and your uncles and all those people. So, you're in the front row. Okay. One day, I texted three buddies from high school and said this week and told them I was using Sister Joachim. I said, I'm using Sister Joachim in my sermon. That trips them out like you're preaching sermons. It's freaking us out, you know. And I said, I'm using it in the message because she was tough love to me. She grabbed me by the ear one day after school and pulled me into this room and pulled my ear so hard that made me sit down. So she's holding my ear up while I'm sitting down, right? And she said, I know you're not stupid, so stop it. You just don't want to learn this. So stop it. Mr. Kaposi, I see through you and I believe you could be the top in your class, but you don't care enough. So I'm going to pull your ear every time I see. I think you're not trying. Thank God for tough luck. I loved her for that. She never had a problem with me in her class. The other teacher's like, what did you, how did you? But I knew it came from a real place. I was telling the story. One of my buddies who is a big time lawyer said to me, he goes, I didn't do very well on my math exam for Regents for New York. He goes, so I spent Saturdays for a month with Sister Joachim. No, he goes, no one knew this. In the convent on Saturdays for a month with Sister Joachim. And he goes, and my 84 went to a 98 because I retested. I owe everything to that lady. And another guy standing phone, he goes, they go, I didn't know you had a good story with her, because she was mean to everybody. So he goes, but I'll tell you, Sister Joachim, he goes, this guy runs a corporation, a holding company that's worth more than any assets I have. And he says, it wasn't for Sister Joachim making me care about the stupid math that we hated. He goes, I wouldn't be able to run the company like I do. Mm-hmm. Listening to tough love can change your life. I wish I'd listened more. People that have proven their heart is right and they may know a little something, let them correct you. Even if they got to grab you by your ear. Right? If Miss Blanche ever grabs you by the ear and says, honey, I want to say something, you better sit down and listen. If she ever goes, honey, you just go, yes, ma'am. You can call her Sister Blanche if you want to. That helps. Strike a scoffer for refusing to learn, and the naive may be warned to become prudent. You know how many other people she did that to that didn't listen? Many. Reprimand one who has understanding and a teachable spirit, and he will gain knowledge and insight. Reprimand someone who really wants to learn, and they're teachable, and they're going to get it. He who assaults his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. That's true in homes. That's true in churches. Right? You got to let someone be an authority over you to help you. I'm not saying let anybody who wants to be an authority in your life, if they want to be in your authority life, actually I'd be like, what's your motive, man? But you got to have some authorities in your life that can tell you something when no one else can tell you something. When you think you know everything, you got to find someone that can tell you something. And you go, okay, I don't want to feel like I'm wrong, and I don't agree with it because my feelings are all jacked over this. I'm in the middle of a turmoil, and this feels better to do it the other way, but I'm going to trust my corrector. Cease listening to instruction and discipline, and you will stray. You stop listening long enough to people who care, who want to correct you, you're going to end up in a place you do not want to be. And how many times did that have to happen to you already? How many times, Mark? Lots, right? Endless times. Someone who loved us tried to pull us aside and tell us something, and we just, we're tough about it. We're whatever we were. And we might have made a mistake. Ever do that? Someone gives you advice, and you screw up, and like, oh, I wish I would have opened my mouth in a hasty way and said something. I'll never do that again. And then like 10 minutes later, you do it right over again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. It says, you will stray from the words of knowledge. The wicked and worthless witness mocks justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgment are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the back of thick-headed fools. Say, thick-headed fools. Man, it's strong language. Next week, say, hey, 19. We're going to do Acts 19 next week. We're going to do Acts 19 next week. We're going to talk about what God maybe expects from his church as a response to culture around us. Say, hey, 19. We are the church. We're not thick-headed fools anymore. We are the church. Even if you make a thick-headed fool decision, God can forgive you. Jesus can erase and stand us up, but let's not stay thick-headed fools.
Yes.
Because we are the church. Say, hey, 19. We're going to learn from this. Say, hey, 19. We're going to leave an inheritance of God in the earth. Say, we are going to leave an inheritance for God in the earth. Yeah. Say, hey, 19. We will value life and relationships with you, Lord, and the ones we love. That's how we're going to respond to 19 culture. Say, hey, 19. We will focus on the truth over our opinions. Say, hey, 19. God alone has plans for me. Hey, 19. The church and God is preparing to do something great again. You know why? Because darkness is getting darker. So we're shining. And that's why we're trying to be snuffed out. That's why our light, our wicks are low. Our oil's light. It's time to power up. Hey, 19 culture's got us bayed down for a little bit. But we're going to respond like God expects us to do. We're going to be the church, right? Say, hey, 19. I belong to him. Say, hey, 19. Jesus is the answer. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. Next week, you'll get something a little better. Maybe this is like a lead up. You know, you got to see Sister Joachim, so it's really a privilege for you guys. I'm just saying. She went on to be with the Lord about 90, I think. And the legacy that she made in that school where I went to, on my own Notre Dame, I looked at this picture. And it made me want it for the church, what I'm about to say. And I didn't think about it till this morning. Every homeroom in my private school, my school looked like a campus that was a little nicer than the one next door, the college campus. It's a preparatory school, and their job in Notre Dame was to see people come through their doors to become leaders in society to make change in the world from a Catholic perspective. So they showed this picture up of all these homeroom reps that we sent out. We were freshmen and sophomores. And I knew it was a tight community. I knew seniors. Freshmen knew me, we played sports together. And I looked at a lot of those faces. And a lot of those faces are doctors, lawyers, CEOs of company. 90% of those people, if you look at the success of financial contribution and social economic change, 90% of those folks are killing it for God, or for the world right now in those things. They hit the stand. I looked at them. It's amazing. People like Sister Joachim pull them by the ear. People like Mr. Spalding, who wouldn't let a kid skip Spanish class not once. Muy poquito español still. We got to have people, and we've got to have a Lord that will speak correction and direction to us no matter what culture's wanting us to do. Because we are the church. Say, hey, 19, I am here. So, Father, send us out and back into the world as we go this week, charged up, filled up, and ready, Lord. And when we're being prepared, help us not resist too hard against it, because I don't want to be a thick-headed fool. I want to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be dead to myself and alive to Christ. I want to be a beautiful church without spot, without wrinkle. And I've been putting spots and wrinkles on it, Lord. So, Lord, please make us be so effective this year, no matter what culture says we can do or not do. And you'd be glorified with our mouths and not our opinions. In Jesus' name, amen. Go love on one another, church.